NFL.com site. And when you try to check the stats, like we talked about last week, it's like there's got to be better sites out there to try and get information. I don't. It's frustrating.
It is.
All right. I'm still not over it. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1.
Few things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 6 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
It's the father and son Packer Podcast, and yes, we won! Yay!
Once again, Mike is down in the dumps even after a win.
Well, it's just, you know, this was a game that I don't think I was alone in that I was thinking, hey, we can get things turned around. We can fix some things. And I did not feel that. Packers won 33-30, but just way too close. There was just too many mistakes going on. And so we'll get into more of the specifics. But
when are we recording?
We are recording Wednesday. On Wednesday evening.
Yep. Kind of a weird schedule after the Monday night game, and then we actually have the bye week next week, so you won't see us for a while after this.
And just because that it's going to be a while, we wanted to bring our mascot, Lady, the Bernese Mountain Dog.
Yeah, if you hear heavy breathing in the background, that's not Mike. That is our mascot, the Bernese Mountain Dog, Lady.
All right, so just a whole lot closer than I ever thought it would be, especially the way it started out. It teased you. Offense is coming out of the gates fast, and then they kept coming out of the gates as well.
I think it was just kind of annoying every time you saw their backup quarterback make a completion to start the game, and then it kept happening.
Right.
And then he'd get a big play, or he had that big touchdown throw at one point. And it was kind of like, well, how does this keep happening?
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things that I put down. And it's just the big plays in the secondary that just kept going on and on and on.
I was happy with the way the offense played. They kind of had some slumps in the middle of the game, but they started and ended strong. And, it's a bummer you can't get both offense and defense going in the game. And I know we were kind of looking at this as the get right game for the Packers to kind of really get everything figured out going into the bye week and then go strong into the second part of the season. But I don't know. I think offense looked better. We've seen what the defense can do. They're still getting the pieces put together.
Yeah, I thought the offense was and did look up. Defense still had, that secondary was really tough, and some of the gaping holes on the defensive line. I thought the offensive line looked offensive at times, and I thought the defensive line looked like they were on roller skates. I mean, they were just being pushed around, and it was tough to watch. Where it's not like the 49ers or the Patriots, so it was tough to see. But like you put down here, we talked about in the offseason, Rodgers gets that huge contract. Well, this obviously was why.
And we always talk about there's going to be a few games a year that you can just count as wins because you have Aaron Rodgers. That some guys are those difference makers, that they're the difference between a loss and a win. And like you said, that's why you pay them. this is just, it's hard to see in the moment, but this is what we talk about when we say that in the offseason. That he gets us wins that we wouldn't have otherwise. This is one of those.
Absolutely.
This is why you have that QB, and this is why you don't have quite the capital you would want for other positions, because you paid a QB so much to be able to do this for you.
Yep, absolutely. And a guy with a bum knee, which we hope is all better. I don't know if he'll be all better all season. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knows what's going on with
him. He's looking pretty good on it. It looks like the brace is more to protect it from getting re-injured than anything.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't have something all year. Maybe a soft brace so it's easier for him to move around.
You want to move into play calling?
Yeah, let's do it. Your favorite part.
It feels like a lot of games we don't come out feeling prepared and feeling ready, and we're always adjusting to what the other team does and having that strong second half or the, you know, figuring out how to slow them down on defense and things like that. It's just we don't come out of the gate strong.
Right.
And the years we've seen this team be a force, that's what they did. They came out, scored early, and didn't let up. And we just, it seems like we flounder or even play mediocre football for the first part of the game until we figure out what the other team wants to do. And it's a strategy.
Well, it's and our defense plays along with it because they let the other team, you know, run up the score, and then we have to hope on Aaron to come back and do well. So you think it's McCarthy's fault that the way we're coming out of the gates, typically looking confused, dazed?
I think that's the only person you could really point a finger at, being the head coach. If you're gonna look at team wide, there.
Is that her?
That was lady. Yeah, she harumphed. that threw me off. If you're looking at, you know, a team-wide issue or attitude, you have to look at the head coach before anything else, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I really felt that Kyle Shanahan called a better game than McCarthy, for quite a while. He sure seemed like he had Pettine's number in the first half.
Maybe had Pettine's number in the first half, but I don't think McCarthy pretty much did whatever he wanted on offense most of the game.
The first quarter. The second or third quarter, he didn't do very well.
Well, first quarter, they moved the ball. Second and third quarter, drives were ruined by penalties. And then fourth quarter, they moved the ball. I think on the drives that weren't killed by penalties, we kind of had our way with them on offense.
Pollyanna.
Do you think McCarthy would still be there if Rodgers hadn't been there to make the team look better than they were?
Well, I mean, that's a tough question, because if Rodgers wasn't there, hopefully that somebody would have drafted a decent quarterback, and, you know, even mediocre.
Let's just say instead of the best QB in the league, we have the number 10 QB in the league.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't. I really don't. I think part of it, something that's kind of been a theme for us this year with Bleeding Green and Gold, is he just seems to be getting antiquated in some of his coaching styles and the way he goes about it.
And you see that, like, the guys that really are innovating right now in the NFL are the guys coming from college, where Sean McVay, you know, college guy, smart guy, he's innovating with the Rams. Andy Reid went back to college. Now he's back with the Chiefs, and he's combining everything he knows. You have to innovate to win in the NFL, especially nowadays when the skill gap between teams in the free agent era is so close compared to what it used to be. You don't have these powerhouses year and year because it can change one year to the next. You have to be able to beat them with scheme and innovate ways to win a game.
And I think, to go a little bit deeper on the McCarthy thing, in fairness to him, I don't think that they treated this team like they had the 10th best quarterback. I think that they relied so much on Aaron.
Yeah, they knew.
They didn't do as good a job at bringing in players as they could have.
I think they just rubber banded too much. They spent years drafting to give Rodgers every weapon he could want and to protect him with the line. And then they realized, we have a defense we need to draft for. So they drafted only defense for the last handful of years, but now our offense has kind of fallen behind. And maybe we need to look at being a balanced team and have a goal 3-5 years in the future rather than next month.
But we do have some talent on the team. There's no doubt about that. And I got to say, too, it's hard to get – when I try to be objective and not be a negative Nelly – about a win, look at and say, okay, we've got wideouts that have been hurt. Our quarterback is hurt. And so we had a running back that was out.
New offensive scheme, new defensive scheme.
So trying to look at it from that aspect.
See,
but
there you go, Mike.
It's not easy. I don't
That's
like
how
doing
you be
this.
Positive.
No, I don't. I'm not positive. Stop telling me I'm positive.
Silver linings coming out of the top of your head and your
No, that's just
beard.
My hair sticking up. That's great hair.
One thing I wanted to mention on that, you mentioned this is a talented team, mm-hmm. and we were kind of saying, how much can you blame McCarthy for the attitude or the way they start a game? I think that, you know, you can look at a team and say they're a talented team, but if they're a good team, that's what you'd say. You don't say, oh, that good team is talented.
Right.
And I
like
think
the
do difference.
With the Browns, you say they got some talent this year.
The difference between a talented team and a good team or a great team is the coach.
I'm with you, bro.
We high-fived. There, now they know.
But so you like the three tight ends?
Yeah. One, I'm not going to just, you know, give the business to McCarthy the whole time. I did like that I saw some new things that they're implementing and different looks. I wanted to go back briefly and get some more examples, but I've been busy. And I haven't done that.
I was not. You were going to do it right now.
So instead, I'll give you the one I could think of off the top of my head, which is when they had three tight end sets in there.
Okay.
We have enough skilled tight ends now to be able to do that, and that just creates holes in the defense. So we need to be able to innovate and try to make room for our guys, basically, to make plays.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
Offense. Go.
Well, it was a fun way to start the game.
Yeah.
Man, and it was like old time, like a couple years ago, Packer football.
Just throwing the ball around.
It really
How about
good.
A fun way to end the game? Just Uh-oh. Throwing the ball around.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, this was a typical, if you weren't a Packer fan, she's fine. Oh, she's fine. if you weren't a Packer fan, it was a great game, or I guess a 49ers fan too, but it was a really good game.
It was a
made
good
for
game.
TV, back and forth, a lot of stuff going on, some weird plays.
A lot of the articles I've seen online after the game have been saying just added to the book of instant classics for Rodgers.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that ending was.
And how spoiled are we that Rodgers has made this the norm?
Yes.
The fourth quarter comeback, the big moment at the end to get. Steal the win. Like, we're just kind of used to it now.
Exactly.
Like, it's going into the fourth, you were like, well, I mean, we'll probably win still. Even though we're losing now.
Right.
It's just, we have a whole quarter left to win it. Mm-hmm. And because we have Aaron Rodgers. And that's what he does.
Dan Patrick was talking, I think it was Monday, and he was saying, no, Tuesday. He said, he goes, I just can't help but think that sometimes he does that on purpose. That he gets bored out there, and so he wants to make it even bigger show.
Like when you're playing Madden with your little sibling, so you let them score a few times, so it's interesting.
Right, or some baseball players, and especially outfielders, will try and they won't take off for the ball right away, so they can dive for the catch and make it look
get the
like
poster moment.
An amazing catch.
But like I said a little bit ago, I was happy with the way they moved the ball. Until we would get kind of drive stalling penalties, because we had so many penalties and just weird mistakes in the second and third quarter that almost always happened on third or second or third down to make it a third and long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they even put up a stat at one point that they had third and four right before the half, and that was the shortest third down they had attempted. I think that was a big part of the reason we saw the offense stall, that it was just drive killers coming up at bad moments. And when that didn't happen, they moved the ball at will.
Mm-hmm.
We had guys getting open. That's kind of one of the main things people complain about. We had guys getting open. We had some protection. We were running the ball well when we ran it. Wasn't much, but when we did.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about the protection, though, because I'm going to give him a 50-50 mediocre grade.
It was a mixed bag on
because
protection.
Because some of them, they just completely missed their guy. I mean, I'm talking a guy over the center or the guard and he's right over him, and they turn and miss him. They whiff him. Mm-hmm. So, and again, it's hard to tell when it's going to be an issue with, let's say, a wide receiver runs a bad pass or a bad route, or a lineman doesn't cover his block, and so you get somebody that's going to make Rodgers either throw it, take a sack, or scramble and have to throw the ball away. The one thing I wanted to bring up, that it was a pretty big missed opportunity. We tied up the score 7-7 and kicked off, and Frisco fumbled on the kick return. We got the ball, I think it was like on the 35-yard line. And this is a perfect example of players miss their assignments, blitz pickups, and there was one pass where the wide receiver didn't run the right route, and Rodgers had to throw it in the ground.
That was Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who ran a bad out route.
Okay. Okay. Well, good on you for remembering. But
you bet.
So those are the kind of things that, gosh, one thing when I was trying to go through this and I was thinking about talking about it today was, you know, maybe you just say, hey, we limped into the win, we got a bye week, and we'll turn it around against the Rams.
Hey, I'm happy with it. You know,
I know you are.
You don't look at the record to go into the playoffs with a summary of how the games went. You just look if it had a win or a loss.
Oh, I agree with that. We're
3-2-1 right now. If the playoffs started, we'd be in.
You know who it reminds me of is Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh for years just wins ugly, and they beat teams. You know, the teams they should handle easily, they have a hard time with, and teams they should have a hard time with, they beat, you know, very well. So, all right, you ready to get into the numbers?
Yes.
Go.
Aaron Rodgers, 25 of 46 for 425 yards and 2 touchdowns.
How many interceptions?
I lost count.
Oh. Is it just one this year?
Yeah, I think so, and that was a tipped one. That was off his receiver's hands.
That is crazy. Yeah. Just crazy.
I remember when Greg Jennings was still on the team, he made a comment in a post-game conference one time, and he said, if anyone could go a whole season without throwing an interception, it would be Aaron Rodgers.
Mm. Wow.
So maybe next year. But once again, like we've kind of spent the majority of the podcast so far talking about, but Aaron Rodgers, fourth quarter comeback. The rest of the league has to be getting kind of sick of it at this point.
Well, and we almost did it in Detroit.
For sure, too. The rest of the NFC North is sick of it.
Sure, sure. Well, they had I know you love seeing the play action pass, that using that more.
Yeah, they ran more of it this game than they have, and I think that's a big part of getting receivers open. And you'll see, like, run to set up the pass has been kind of a football mantra for decades. Mm-hmm. You don't even need to run anymore to set up play action. Play action gives enough of a diversion that you get more separation with your receivers. You can run it on plays without setting it up with the run, and you're seeing teams do that more. Andy Reid in Kansas City is doing that a lot. Scott McVay is doing it a lot. I'm trying to think of the Bengals head coach. He's been doing it. He's been running a lot of play action to kind of help Andy Dalton out and get him guys more open, give him some more time. And by the way, that's who I was thinking of when we were talking about the 10th best QB in the league. I was like, who would be the most middle quarterback? Like the middle good quarterback, and it's Andy Dalton.
Okay.
He's the most middle.
Well, I'm glad. I've been standing on one
leg. We came
leg
full circle.
Just worried about that. Who was that 10th best?
Yeah. So, he still holds the ball quite a while.
Yeah, some of that I got to attribute to the receivers.
Partly.
I think that he's always looking for the big play. He'd rather throw it 25 yards than throw it 5. But I think that sometimes he just doesn't have the confidence with these wideouts. Well, besides Adams, I think there are definitely times when he is hanging on to the ball. He did have a grounding called against him, which was valid.
Yeah, I think another, the other side of that coin is that he has one interception so far this year because he doesn't throw the ball when he thinks it could be turned over. He knows it's more costly to a team to throw an interception than to take a sack. We've kind of seen that his whole career. I don't know if it's just a Rodgers thing or if him and McCarthy agree that a sack is better than a turnover. And so every year we talk about how long he holds the ball, and it's just who he is. But I agree that a lot of it is, with such a timing offense, it's getting used to the receivers. You know, they say in West Coast offenses, and we're not fully West Coast anymore with how McCarthy's trying to change it, but it's still a timing offense, and that takes a lot of reps with receivers to get that down. And we had two rookies starting at wide receiver this last game with Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison out. So
it's going to take some time. Oh, that would help so much. Yeah, I agree with you on that. You know, one thing.
And Rodgers hasn't been practicing much with his knee, right. So that you lose a lot of reps there, too. All right, now you can talk. Go ahead.
Thank you for letting me. Yeah. It seems to be the new media thing to go with, and just it doesn't even matter if there's anything there. I'm not saying there isn't with McCarthy and Rodgers, but they do this with so many teams. They do it with Belichick and Brady, and they've done it with in Pittsburgh. They've had other teams where they've talked about the quarterback and the head coach. It's like, really? I mean, I can't believe all these players and coaches are going head-to-head. I do know that players are not as under the thumb as they used to be back in the day. But I just get so tired of that.
Well, it's a good, you know, that's always there because it is important, the relationship they have. And so you can always drum up drama. You can always use a video clip or an audio clip.
Right.
You can always go to that well when you need, need eyeballs.
Well, the one I saw now that they're saying proof of there being animosity between Rodgers and McCarthy is that on two timeouts, Rodgers didn't go to the sideline. He stayed on the field. And it's like, well, I want to know, has he done it before? You know, how often? I mean,
also,
I don't really
Who cares?
And he can hear
it's
everything
like
in his
helmet.
It's
not like he went and hung out with the other team's head coach.
But he can converse with them through his helmet.
Well, he can listen.
Yeah.
He can't talk back.
Well, you're not supposed to talk back to the head coach.
Okay, then. receivers. Cobb and Allison were out this game, so we did have the rookies in there getting some game-time reps. Mr. Adams, though, at this point, the wily veteran.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? Had himself a game. 10 catches, 132 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, beautiful catches, too. He had some just fantastic. Well, there were multiple beautiful catches.
He, I think just the timing he has with Rodgers, though, that when he gets it, he doesn't break stride. He's so good with yards after the catch, getting that yak. And he can make guys miss. You know, he's got those little moves that he does. And Rodgers knows where to get it to him and when. And that's what we're talking about, the timing. You just got to get that relationship down with your receivers. And it's hard to argue that it's not down between him and Adams.
It's funny, last week, people were talking about, well, what a bust Jimmy Graham was. That's not really – he hasn't turned out to be near what we thought he was going to be. And he had himself a good game.
It kind of goes with fantasy football. I always tell people my golden rule, even though I'm not playing this year, which is weird for me. But my golden rule is it's better to have good players on good teams than great players on bad teams. And – because that's where the points are. Those are the teams that move the ball.
Right.
Our offense has been struggling. Of course, Jimmy Graham doesn't have the numbers. But we've had some weeks to get him reps with Rodgers so they can build that timing and that relationship. And our offense was moving it quite a bit this game. And 5 catches, 104 yards, and he looked good, too.
Yeah, he had a couple of really nice ones.
And I think that's something people forget about. He had a couple of years marred by injury. He had some QB issues. We're still seeing Jimmy Graham, one of the best tight ends of all time, in his prime as far as tight ends go. I'd say you bump that, you know, viable NFL age range back a couple years from wide receivers for tight ends, it seems. Antonio Gates played pretty late. I'm excited for seeing Jimmy.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, it just seeing them getting in rhythm again, like we were talking about. So,
and having that tight end weapon.
You know, and it's just one of those things, if I could just give a tip to the listener, and just, you got to be, it's like with any media, they just drum a beat, the beat, and the beat, and they just, they all kind of start talking about it, because the way the media works is they got to come up with something. If they're writing it, they got to have a story. If they're going to do a TV show, they got to have something to talk about. And so they all jump on the same thing. And so just watch the game, read the stuff for yourself, and make the decision.
And listen to Bleeding Green and Gold.
Yes, this is the truth.
Yes. No fake news here. Speaking of tight ends, before we move on to the rookie receivers, Lance Kendricks, caught the ball twice. That is all.
How many drops?
I don't think he had any drops.
I don't think he did either. That is all.
EQ St. Brown. Can you help the listeners with his full first name?
EQ.
Equanimeous St. Brown had a crazy good catch at the end of the game to help the Packers win it.
It was.
He had probably the biggest catch of the game as far as overall impact on it. And that has, you just got to love to see that as a confidence builder for a rookie.
Yes.
And then Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Whew. three catches for 103 yards, targeted 5 times. You know, I like what we're seeing out of the young rookie receivers. Yeah. I like what we've seen out of the young rookie corners. A lot to be excited about. And Valdez-Scantling was a 5th-round pick this last year. Just like a certain Randall Cobb, who many think is on his way out after this contract. No reason I brought that up.
Mr. Happy.
My one thing is, and you kind of touched on it too with that third down, the bad out route he ran. His route running could be a little better, it seemed, where he is running the route, but not, you know, running it to confuse the defender. You see certain guys, when they make their move inside, they do it right at the time the defender looks outside and things like that. And I think that'll just come with time.
Well, I think some of these guys too, when they come into the league, they, for their whole life, all the way through college, they let their physicality win out for them. They didn't have to be so precise. They didn't have to practice as hard. They didn't have to watch tape as much. So I think that it takes them a while to get in there and go, geez, everybody else is really good too. Even the teams, bad teams, have really good players like we talked about too.
Running the ball, Aaron Jones, he ran the ball 3 times in the first 2 offensive series and then only once more for the rest of the first half. Hopefully there's a reason for it. Hopefully there's a method to McCarthy's madness that we don't know about, but he always seems to do well when he's in the game.
Yeah.
You know, he got us to the 1-yard line. They called it back, and then we punched it in, but he had a nice outside run to get us to the 1-yard line, was looking good, and then we just kind of didn't see him anymore.
Right, right.
And it's frustrating. I did like Ty Montgomery, though, had a really nice 14-yard run to start our game-winning drive. We both kind of commented on it during the game. Nice outside cut. Not really something the other team would expect to start a drive either, because you have the main pass-catching running back in there, and you need to drive the ball.
Right.
You're not going to run it. So
that was a good call.
As much as you want, Chris,
because it worked,
McCarthy,
if it didn't work.
I like that call.
If it didn't work, we'd be calling for the rope.
Yeah. Offensive line, how'd you feel?
Well, like I said in the beginning, I felt like they were just up and down. And it, unfortunately, when you got your best player behind you, it's not good when you're down. We've had just the consistency isn't there. I know you have some injuries. We got some people that are filling in. But I don't know. I expected them to do better. It's not like the 49ers are a juggernaut on the defensive line. I think we're defensive, as far as points against, I think we're about tied, the 49ers and the Packers.
Are we?
I think so. Last week, anyways.
Lane Taylor has struggled at points this year. It's felt, I think it's just partly that he played really well last year when he did. So we had pretty high expectations for him going into this year, and he just hasn't quite lived up to him. He gave up a sack this game. Hopefully he can turn around. Byron Bell's been, you know, one of the veterans that they brought in. McCarthy likes to have his veterans he can plug in. And I've liked what we've seen from him. I've liked pretty much all year what we've seen from him on run blocking. Mm-hmm. Pass protection, he's been very iffy on. In this game, there was a few times he was a liability in mm-hmm. pass protection.
I agree. I think he went out for maybe a series or so.
I think the announcer said he did, but he actually just moved over. Justin McCray, our other guard, was benched. He wasn't hurt. He was benched. Mm. And then I think they moved Byron Bell over to his spot, and they put Patrick, whoever, in. Can't think of his last name right now.
Okay. Bulaga went out with a shoulder injury, but he did come back.
Yeah, he came back and finished the game, so probably nothing to worry about there. And actually, before we move on to defense, our only injury of the game was Bulaga, who then came back in.
Well, that's great. And then
so that's a victory in itself.
It sure is.
Because we have Randall Cobb to get back after the bye week. Geronimo Allison is supposed to be back. Jair Alexander is supposed to be back, so a lot of pieces coming back into play, hopefully.
Awesome.
Let's move on to defense.
Okay.
We did make their backup quarterback look pretty darn good at mm-hmm. points, which is a familiar story for Packer fans over
the
last few years.
1-6 as a starter coming into the game. He's now 1-7, but...
But he got close.
Man. There were times where he looked like money.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that's skill and stuff, too, but when you look at how open these guys were in the secondary, it's like, come on, Fran Tarkenton could have thrown him.
Yeah, and they ran the ball a lot heavier than we did. So I think he was, I can check here, I think he was 16 of 23. Bethard. Yeah, 16 of 23 for 245 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Big interception.
Big interception. Good chunk of yards, but 16 to 23, you know, that's not a ton of throws
right.
for that to be happening on. A lot of it came from rushing the ball. They had, just with their main running backs, Mostert and Breda, they had 26 runs, and that adds up.
Mm-hmm. It does, and the defense has to play it, so that's why we keep saying, how about we run the ball a little bit mm-hmm. more, Mikey?
And really, no matter how you look at it, the first half was ugly yeah. for our defense.
It was.
You can't really paint over anything, put a nice rosy tint on anything, because it was pretty openly ugly.
It was, and and the whole defense. I mean, I talked about how the defensive line was playing with roller skates on, mm-hmm. but the secondary was missing guys, linebackers, and were letting the edge go. Mm-hmm. And they were getting major yardage by running out that to the side.
I agree. The second half was more of a mixed bag with the defense, where, you know, there were still a lot of those struggles at points, but they came up with some key stops when we needed it,
mm-hmm.
When they hadn't been able to the whole game. And the biggest one being when the Niners got the ball at their own 40 near the end of the game. Basically, you know, they kick a field goal, it's game over for us, mm-hmm. and we got a stop.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Well, is that Perry? Didn't he bat the ball down?
Perry had 3 batted balls this game.
But was it that at the end there? Did he bat it down? I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't know everything, Mike.
You tell me to do.
Yeah, and I pretend to. Kevin King got the big interception for the Packers. He showed his size and his speed that we drafted him in the first round for. That was a nice one.
And the position he had on the receiver was textbook.
And, yeah, and that's, you know, that's a big part of it, too, because Pettin there, he basically risked it, everything at there. He threw everything in the kitchen sink at Bethard, blitzed everyone, had no safeties over the top. So when he threw it, it was the receiver and Kevin King. I think it was Goodwin he was running with, who had been burning us all game. But, yeah, he's the one that allowed Kevin King to get there. And it was Ha Ha Clinton Dix, who had kind of been struggling all game. They'd been blitzing with him a lot, but he wasn't getting through to the quarterback, and it was him who pressured Bethard at the end there to underthrow it a bit for Kevin King to get the interception. So, you know, they struggled a lot of the game, but they stepped up in some key points.
It's kind of becoming a thing this year where they turn it around in the second half. Give up a lot of points.
It'd be nice if that wasn't a thing.
Amen.
Martinez had a good second half, or an especially good second half. He helped a lot in run support, ended up with 12 tackles on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. And Kenny Clark had another solid game. He's become one of our most consistent pieces on defense, it seems. He had 7 tackles, 1 for a loss, and a sack this game.
Just Mr. Consistent.
Mm-hmm. And then you brought up Perry. Nick Perry batting down that ball. He batted down 3 balls total this game.
It was, and gosh, that's just deflates. I can't imagine, you know, the guy, he's back to pass. He releases it, sees his man open, all of a sudden, doink.
Yeah. Yeah, the Vikings had that happen a lot in their game. There's a lot of batted balls.
You said batted balls.
Batted balls. You good?
Yep.
All right. Batted balls. So, we need to be able to stop the other team's quarterback. I think that should be objective number one.
You think so?
When I kind of look at, you know, the bird's eye view of this.
When you go in and talk to the players and the whiteboard, you've got number one, stop the quarterback.
Yeah, I think that should be our focus. So, it sounds stupid, though. It sounds so obvious, but I think it's not in today's NFL. I think so many teams look at pieces they need to fill on the defense, having consistency across the whole thing. Oh, this guy's a big, you know, run stopper here. Like, these different things, when it's really as simple as stopping the other team's quarterback. Today's NFL is all about the passing game.
Amen, yeah.
You don't need to sell out to stop the run. You need to stop the pass, and you'll have guys athletic enough to do a decent job against the run.
Yeah.
You can let them run 100 yards a game and not worry about losing a game, because that's not how the NFL works now.
Well, how about this for yards as a receiver? 4 catches for 126 yards and a couple of touchdowns.
For Marquise Goodwin. Yeah. On the 49ers.
That's when we were talking about big plays. Those are big plays.
Yeah, he was burning us. One of those was Bryce had a, you know, something resembling coverage, but gave up a big one. I think it was
right
like
there?
A, yes, I was. I think it was like 68 yards to Goodwin on that one. And that's the third week in a, I think a row, but at least the third week this season that he has given up huge touchdowns, like just chunk play touchdowns. I think we got to do something about Bryce at safety. He's such a liability back there.
Right, right.
I know we have had at points when Tremont used to be on the team, he would fill in at safety, so we know he can play the position. I feel like he'd be a better bet at safety than Bryce would at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And getting Breland ready to go, Breshad Breland will, after the bye week now, be active and ready to play. He'll know his role and know the plays. So that'll be exciting to see.
It'll
a little more depth at corner.
See. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
But yeah, let's put Tremont in there, see how he does. Or there's 2 guys in Oakland, Amari Cooper, and I'm trying to think of their safety's name, but he's a good safety, better than what we have. And, you know, the Raiders have made it pretty obvious this year they're willing to sell. Mm-hmm. We have 2 first-round picks. Let's give them one. Get both the players.
All right, Hershon's going off a little side rail.
Yeah,
here.
I got distracted. We did not hold the edge well to stop the run. We've drafted, and, you know, guys we pick up have been talent guys, athlete guys, so that they're faster. They can move sideline to sideline, and it's frustrating that we have had such a focus on that to still just get manhandled on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
'Cause they really just kind of pushed them around at
they
points.
They did. They did, and they were, guys weren't even getting chipped when they were going out for the lead block. They were right up there next to the running back when they were cutting the edge. It's like pretty hard to stop them.
Yeah. So that was frustrating. Let's see. Do you have anything else on defense here? I don't think I have much.
No. I think we kind of covered everything.
Right. Should we move on to special teams?
Yeah, boy.
An old silver-haired fox himself, Mason Crosby.
Woo-hoo. I love the crowd when he made his first field goal, and they just went freaking nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, and all the talk, for those of you who don't know, Mike and I, my dad, live in central Minnesota, the middle of Vikings land, and all week I heard about Crosby, and I'm surprised you guys didn't cut Crosby and all this stuff, and it's like, he has been such a solid fixture of our team for so long.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, and who do you pick up?
Yeah, who's better?
Because you have other teams that have been struggling. It's been a weird year, even in college football, for mm-hmm. kickers, and but the point being with the NFL, it's like, well, the best of the rest have already been picked up.
Mm-hmm. Mason Crosby made all 7 kicks of the game. He was 4 for 4 on field goals with a long of 51 and 3 extra points.
Mm-hmm.
And extra points are no longer a gimme in the NFL, as we all know.
Yeah, yes.
Ever since they moved him back.
J.K. Scott had 4 punts for 38.8 average.
Not great, but a lot of that's to do with field position as well.
And I also, I know one for sure, but I thought he had 2 where he downed it in front of the end zone, but our special teams unit missed it.
Might have been. They had that one where they ran out the clock to get a delay a game to move back the punt to give them some more room, and the Niners declined it. It's like gamesmanship at its finest.
I thought that was smart. Well, what do you, so 38.8, not great.
But it's more based on field position.
Right.
He had an okay game. Final thoughts. You have any final thoughts, Mike?
Well, my final thought is I'm trying to stay positive. Yes, it's a win. I don't know what to think about the game coming up. I mean, the Rams have been just so hot. But we got a week to prepare. I'm sure they've been already working on it ahead of time. I'd really like to see some, like, the defensive line really get their game up. Secondary, I think we're going to see that come around.
Mm-hmm.
And then offensive line just get healthy and play as a unit.
Yeah, and I think we just got to learn who this team is. You know, we don't know
Packers.
If they're
Green Bay Packers.
A great team that sometimes has a bad game. We don't know if they're a bad team who sometimes looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know right now.
Yeah, I've seen and heard that an awful lot. People are like, well, they could go 12-4.
And no one would be surprised.
Right, or they'll finish under 500. It's just too hard to tell.
And no one would be surprised.
That's right. How about you? What are your final thoughts?
I think this is a big bye week for Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. I think this season, how the season ends, could determine his tenure in Green Bay.
I agree.
And I think we're going into a bye when games that have gone you know, we've expected them to go one way, haven't quite gone that way. You know, with the Niners, even though we got the win, everyone kind of expected it to not even be a 20-point game.
Mm-hmm.
We should have kind of gone out there and trounced them. So I think now, after the bye week coming up here, we have the Rams at L.A. and then the Patriots in Foxborough. That's 2 tough games back-to-back, but a bye week to prepare for them. And I think, you know, playoff-wise, if we can steal one of those games, that would be huge for us.
Yeah,
because we won't be expected to win either of those. But McCarthy taking the time to prepare and go out there and out-coach other teams, I think this is where we'll see if he can do that.
Okay. What? Who do you feel better, best chances after the bye, the Rams or New England?
New England.
I feel we match up better with New England.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And McCarthy plays Belichick well.
Yep. Yeah, you should see him. He wears the whole garb and everything. He's got the hoodie sweatshirt.
Someone should, like, a Halloween game coming up here. That's probably right there for McCarthy and Belichick. He should dress up as Belichick.
Walk around stomping all the time.
Now we're just going to be disappointed when this opportunity is missed.
Okay.
We don't have a game to preview because we have the bye week coming up. One quick thing to mention, though. We mentioned the Patreon last week. If you want to help out the show your support, Unfortunately, Patreon is on the injury report this week. Hopefully it will be healthy and up and ready to go after the bye.
Okay. Should we, like, could you explain that more, sir?
Probable.
Probable. Not questionable.
Mm-hmm. Probable.
All right, so it's going to play. Well, the Bleeding Green and Gold is made possible by yours truly, doing voiceover work, voice acting, and it's anything that you need for the voice. When you need your on-hold messaging, I just was contacted by a guy today who was looking at in-store messages, you know, and how annoying those are when you're walking around, but they work really well. And you know how you make them less annoying? You hire a professional like this guy, voice guy next door. E-learning is going crazy. What that is, people use it for when they bring in new recruits or they're going to put training stuff. A lot of times people have to be up to code, and so they have to watch the training, and then you need to put a voice to it. So all you got to do is check it out at voiceguynextdoor.com. voiceguynextdoor.com. Got my contact information on there. Got a couple of demos so you can hear what I sound like, but you already do know that because you're listening to me right now. VoiceGuyNextDoor.com.
Time for the game ball. The old silver-haired devil Mason Crosby himself with the comeback game.
He's gotten a few game balls from us over the years.
Yeah, he had a big, you know, 51-yarder. He had the game-winning field goal. Who else can you give it to besides Rodgers, maybe?
Yeah,
that, but you can't always give it to Rodgers. You know, he's probably filled a whole spare room with the game balls we shipped to him.
Congratulations, sir. Nice job, Crosby. I bet you he slept good Monday night after that.
I bet. Moving on to picks here. We are all tied up again. Picked the Dolphins, and so that meant I picked the Bears because I didn't want to agree with you. And the Dolphins won at the final seconds of overtime.
Brocktober.
The Brock Lobster came in and ripped out the Bears' hearts. And fun fact, I'm trying to think of all the teams it's been for, but it was Denver, I think Houston, and now the Dolphins that Brock has started games for. So three teams he has started a game for. All of those games have been against the Bears, and they have all been wins.
They've all been against the Bears?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no, he's won all his opening starts for a team, and they've all been against Chicago.
Oh, okay, that's funny. All right, so Mike got that one right. We both picked the Vikings to win over the Cardinals, which they did.
And we both picked the Packers to beat the Niners, which luckily they did. Next week, no Packer game, so we have three other NFC North games to pick. Vikings at Jets. Who you got?
You know, just a little bit of a tickle in the back of my throat wants to say the Jets, but I'll go with the Vikings.
I'll go Vikings.
Patriots at Bears.
Patriots.
Patriots.
Lions at Dolphins.
And it's Brocktober again, isn't it?
See,
I would pick him and the Dolphins, except I feel like he tends to fall flat after that first win. But they're playing the Lions, so I'll go with the Dolphins.
I'll go Lions.
Okay. All right, so we went separate.
Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah, I don't think he can do it again. And that was a grueling game in a 100-degree heat index to go full overtime.
Crazy.
And by the way, 100-degree heat index, and then the 3 o'clock game in Denver was 21 degrees and snowing. So that's how weird the U.S. is geographically.
It's been crazy. A crazy month for weather and everything. So, all right.
We are 3-2-1. We are going into the bye week, cuff-tuple games after, but we have a lot to be excited for.
Yeah, Sean's very optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic. And you never know. I mean, it's all it takes is to put, I'd say, 2-3 pieces together, and we definitely could be competitive with the Rams. I believe that their defense has been somewhat suspect, hasn't it? their offense has been great, but they've had some games where they've struggled a bit.
Maybe. I haven't watched them too close.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I haven't really that much either. I have seen some of their offense, which looks fantastic. Yeah, really, really good. So, all right, man. Are you ready?
Until next time.
Go, Pack, go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go, Pack, go!